following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, along with Jim Langan, our co-host, and Monty Kratzenstein is going to be in studio as well today to talk a little bit of football, and some of that will be on the Huskers' side. We will be chatting a little bit about what else is going on in the world of sports, but first off today, we will be talking about the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Just got back from the press conference, and we will hear from the new head coach, Josh Lamberson, in just a moment. We'll hear from Athletic Director Paul Plinsky and some of his comments this morning as well. But Lamberson, 32-year-old native of Wilbur, a career record as an assistant, 80-30. The last 5 years, he's been at Central Missouri. The last four as offensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator. Before that, he was at Southeastern Oklahoma State and spent some time as a grad assistant at Northwest Missouri State. That's where he played his football. He was a semifinalist for the Harlan Hill Trophy in 2005, which is the Heisman of Division Two. He also was an All-American quarterback his senior year and played in two national championships at Northwest Missouri State. So that's a little bit of the background on Lamberson. And Jimmy, UNK has their new coach. He's a young man, and his first head coaching experience will be here, but he's obviously seen a little bit of the MIAA in his time.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of the MIAA, and, you know, not only that, Doug, I didn't realize that he played quarterback and had done so well with those teams. Talk about a guy that had played at that level and then coached as an assistant coach at that level. And, you know, 32 is what you say his age is. 32, that's going to be one of the youngest coaches in college football. You know, that's a real young coach. Doesn't mean you can't coach at young age. I mean, I think at any age you can coach, you know. But at age 32, I'm not saying that's surprising, but it's just that, hey, you know, that's going to be one of the youngest coaches UNK's had in a long time, because we've had a history of having older coaches coach UNK football.
And as we talked about before, there really hasn't been a lot of turnover in coaching at UNK for a long, long time. Very, very little turnover in any of the sports.
Yeah, that's very true. I believe, you know, I'm going to go back on this real fast, and you can help me because I'm just doing this on the top of my head. But Al Zickman and Claire Boroff made a lot of years there in a row.
And then Daryl.
Yeah, and then exactly, and then Daryl Morris, who was an assistant with Claire, and then took over as that. And you know, not only that, Doug, a lot of the assistant coaches during that stretch with Al Zickman and Claire Boroff were there a lot of years, you know, during that time. So yeah, there was not a lot of turnover. And you know, I think, really, if we're honest about it, you guys, I don't think there's a lot of turnover in the NCAA, Big 8, Big 10, You know, there were a lot of coaches that maybe they lost, but those guys, they were still there, and they coached no matter what their record was, as long as they were trying and getting things done. And now we seem to be in an area or a time where there's a lot of coaching changes.
For the first part of the show today, we're going to play some clips from the press conference. After the press conference, I had a chance for about 5 minutes to talk with the new coach Lamberson on a couple of issues. He's from Wilbur, so we'll get an update on check days, obviously, from the new coach. He said we're invited down anytime. So, you know, if you like kolaches, my friend.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? You know, there's a coach from the University of Oregon, you know, basketball coach, University. Yeah. Isn't he
Dan
from
Altman?
Isn't he from that same area?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you got about, what do you have, about 30 kids in a class there, or 40, you know, at that school, and two head coaches, you know, at nice programs that we are very much, you know, because with Altman was at Creighton. You know what I mean, in some of the schools closer to that before he left, yeah.
So we will hear from Coach in just a little bit. Monty Kratzenstein is with us this morning as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm happy a farmer out there today, by the way.
I apologize. I couldn't see the lines anyway. I just kind of slid right in with the weather the way it is.
Man, this is a lot crappier than I thought. The Heisman Trophy was awarded over the weekend. Later on in the program, I'll let you know who I voted for. It's obviously a very distinguished group, and I don't know how I got in it, but I am very grateful for having an opportunity to vote for that. And I'll tell you that I wasn't in the majority on this one, and I'll give you my reasons why. Not that Marcus Mariota wasn't the best football player in the country. He just wasn't on my first line. And I'm different and wacky that way. But let's start it off here with Athletic Director Paul Plinsky, his introductory comments this morning, and the new football coach for Josh Lamberson. And here are some of the comments from UNK Athletic Director Paul Plinsky.
On Friday evening, after 3 weeks of a cell phone being literally plastered to my left ear, I gave my phone to my wife for a couple hours, and she hid it from me. And about 10 o'clock in the evening, I looked at my phone, and I got a text message from Peter Yazbek, our sports information director, and he said, "It's out." And then a couple minutes later, I get a phone call from Rich Broderson, and he says, "What are we going to do, Paul?" And I said, "You know, Rich, we're going to stay the course, and we're going to move forward with the plan as we decided on Friday." But I want to thank our friends at footballscoop.com for breaking the news and for making us relevant, making the University of Nebraska-Kearney a top story. I also want to thank all of you for being in attendance this morning. It's truly an exciting time in the history of our university, but you being here shows to me that this is an important decision and that you are in support of where this program is heading. I'd also like to thank our administration, and most specifically, Chancellor Christensen. Thank you for being a partner to me and helping me through this process and getting us to this point where we are today. But above all else, thank you for believing in me 15 months ago and hiring me to be the athletic director at this great institution. I'd also like to thank our coaches and our staff, the people that have stood with me and stood with our student-athletes through this transition. You've believed in our mission, and you've believed in the calling that we have to make this the best experience that we can for our student-athletes. Our student-athletes, I want to thank you for believing in us and for being with us through this time and for also believing in the Loper way. And we think some exciting things are on the horizon, and we hope that you will continue to stick with us as we pave new territory. Lastly, I'd like to thank our alumni and our supporters, and specifically Amy and Matt Cope, Brad Koenig, Bob Saling, Paul Eunice, the Cope Family Foundation, and other individuals that remain nameless who have been significant contributors to the Loper football family, and most specifically to this Grace University. So, here we are. On December 15th, we have our press conference today at 10 a.m. At noon, we'll whisk Josh and his wife Mandy over to the Kearney Country Club for a private reception. This evening at 5 p.m. in the Zickman Room, we will have an open public reception for people who want to come and meet Josh and Mandy and his family. And then at 7 p.m., we'll have the tip-off against Hastings College, and we'll introduce Josh during the game. So please join us if you can. So our process to find a new head football coach began on November 15th. And as the process was unfolding, I continued to look at really the foundation that was laid here at the University of Nebraska-Kearney with individuals like Al Zickman, Claire Boroff, and Daryl Morris. And during that period in time, I continued to analyze the traits that made us successful. And I used phrases for each of you, and I dropped them regularly. Diamond in the rough, outstanding character, knowledgeable coach, family atmosphere, Nebraska and MIAA ties. Those all led me through a process that included over 125 applicants, 13 interviews, 3 face-to-face meetings, so that Eldon and Associates and I could be as thorough and as detailed as possible. Truthfully, the process could not have gone any better than it did. We did thorough and detailed reviews. We spent time looking at individuals' backgrounds. We talked to references. We also did an NCAA compliance review. Well, here we are. It's no secret that we've hired Josh Lamberson as our 17th football coach in the history of this proud institution. So going through this process, I really had a pretty good idea what I wanted, but it wasn't until I met Josh Lamberson that I realized that I'd found the one. His personality will jump out of the room at you. He smiles with confidence. His coaching pedigree with his ties to Northwest Missouri State and Central Missouri make him a quality candidate for this job as we lead ourselves into the future of UNK and the MIAA. The rest, I want you to get a chance to meet him and get a chance to know who Josh Lamberson is and have an opportunity to see what type of individual is going to lead our football program into the future. So at this time, without further ado, I'd ask for Josh Lamberson to come on up to be introduced as our 17th head football coach in the history of the University of Nebraska-Kearney.
And that is Athletic Director Paul Plinsky as introducing the new head football coach in Josh Lamberson. We will hear from the coach after the break. We also got a chance to ask a few questions of Athletic Director Plinsky. Some of the things that are always out there, and guys, you know this, there's money involved, there's contracts involved, there's hiring of new staff, there's getting everybody acclimated, getting them where they need to be. We know that coach has met with his players already. They've went through that. There's only one football coach in Coach Miller that will be retained from the current staff, the interim coaches in Bob Crocker and Tom Everson, who helped in the transition here. The rest of the coaches were either let go or decided not to stay on when Coach Morris was not retained, and they were let go over the weekend as well. And I think that is the toughest part of this. And again, both you guys know this, when you live in Kearney as opposed to Lincoln or Austin, Texas, or if you're coaching Division I football, you may not just become as close with the coaches. Obviously, you see them almost, not every day, but you're going to run into them a lot. They're going to talk to you. You're going to see them. And the tough part is some of these coaches have so much ties to this area, it will be impossible for Coach Lamberson to probably find somebody that has those ties currently to this area when you're talking about recruiting kids that have been a big part of UNK's success. So, Monty, you've been down that coaching tree before. How tough do you think that'll be? And how important is it?
Well, I've said it multiple times when you're talking about – I'm always fascinated by the whole process of hiring. And I was intrigued by the differences between, you know, obviously the University of Nebraska just went through this and the University of Nebraska at Kearney went through this. And, you know, 125 applicants, how would you like that? That job is sifting through that because obviously there's some pretty good ones. And also the number that struck me too was 13 interviews. That's a lot of interviews. So there wasn't really a short list that was had there. The other thing that really intrigues me, and maybe we'll talk about later when we talk about other jobs, but is the hiring of a staff. Because just as you mentioned, it's different at all levels, but especially at the Kearney level, you have guys who have been here a long time. And the one thing we can't forget is those guys are community members, they're family members. It does, you know, when we get the coach needs to be fired talk from everybody, whether it be at the lower level or the upper level or whatever, you can't forget that there are families involved in that process. And that's, it is a very, very difficult deal. Nobody goes out there just to, you know,
throw his sword out and just cut off a bunch of jobs and families and that sort of thing. So it is a very difficult sort of thing.
Jimmy, it's hard. I mean, I understand it. You want to wipe the slate clean. I mean, the reason there is a coaching change is because they are not satisfied with what the football program is getting done, wins and losses, and maybe there's a couple of other things back there. But so if you're going to wipe the slate clean, you do have to start over. You've been an administrator and a coach here. What's Hastings College, UNK, other programs, I mean, they're pretty involved.
Yeah, I think what's interesting here in this situation a little bit is that the age of, you know, Nebraska hired a coach that was almost twice his age. You know, if you think about this, I mean, we've got Nebraska hired maybe one of the oldest coaches in all of football. And when the UNK's probably hired one of the youngest ones. And it'll be interesting to see when you're young like that, you might want to keep, some of the people on staff that are already here if they're going to be loyal to you. You know, hey, are you?
That's hard to know.
That's
impossible to know almost.
Well, that's why you interview them, you talk to them before you make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, you bring some of those people in if you're interested in them and say, this is the way I'm going to do things. This is how I am. Are you willing to work with me? Because I will guarantee you the activities director's already had. He's watched things for 15 months, and he's going to give that head coach some advice probably on, hey, you know, I think these guys are going to be loyal to you, and I think this is going to work out for you, and this might be a good move for you. So he's going to have some opinions, you know, and the head coach will be able to read that and go on. But most coaches that I know, they're going to be loyal. They're going to be loyal to their head coach. I mean, the players and the coaches are loyal to Bo Pelini. But that doesn't mean if they were going to be, as an assistant coach, hey, you know what, I got a job to do. My job is to work with receivers. You know, my job is to make these receivers the best I can. And I'll be honest with you guys. It's nice to be loyal, but I'm going to be real honest with you. You get 10 football coaches. They don't all get along.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, they don't all get along, but they better follow what the head coach says. But, you know, there's always going to be that defensive back coach going, I'll tell you what, these linebackers, what's going on here? These linebackers, who's coaching the linebackers? They're not helping us at all. We got to get a better pass rush. Give me a better pass rush, and then my defensive backs will have a chance, you know. And then, you know, so there's things that go on during a game that are going to be said and yelled at. But, you know, basically when you get all said and done, everybody's job is to find the best 50 kids, let's throw that number out, 50 kids you can find to play college football. And you're also going to have some freshmen. You're going to build up in some red shirts, et cetera. Your thoughts, you guys, because I'm just rambling here a little bit at the end here. Did I say anything that was completely incorrect?
Are you done?
Hopefully.
Well, okay, because I wasn't paying attention. No. One thing that I did take, and we'll hear this maybe from Coach Lambert a little bit, he said high school recruiting numerous times. This is a guy that doesn't want to go the JUCO route, but Monty, we all know that you have to go that route somewhat to fill in holes on your team. Somebody gets hurt, somebody transfers, all of a sudden, I mean, you take over a program, you're not going to be perfect in all spots. So he wants to build that up. As he said, I want them invested in the program. I want somebody that's been here 4 or 5 years so that when they're seniors and it means something and it's 4th and 1, I want somebody to make that stop or somebody to get that yard because they're not just passing through.
Jimmy, you did say some really good things. I will say that there's a lot of things I got in my head. First thing, you made a great point as far as chemistry of coaching staffs. When people want other people to be offensive coordinators or assistant coaches, that chemistry is so important. And that's one thing that has changed. You mentioned the change of college football that has changed greatly, not just the timetable of the expectations of the head coach, but also this for hire sort of thing as far as an assistant coach. You know, well, let's go get this guy because he's a good coordinator. Let's go get this guy because he's a good recruiter. And what happens is you bring those different personalities and those different people from different parts of the country in together, and you do lose some of that chemistry. One of the things that Coach Osborne did so well for so long was keep his staff together. Totally different era. I mean, you cannot do that anymore in that light. So that's a great point. So when you're putting together staff, and I know when Josh is putting together his staff, he's thinking about those things, about chemistry, what he needs from a recruiting standpoint, from a coaching the player standpoint, but also from a chemistry standpoint. Doug, to your point of JUCOs and that process you go through, to me it always looks like, okay, am I in this for the long haul, and is the long haul? Mm-hmm. In other words, if you think that you, with the players that you have, you aren't going to go out and recruit players in this conference that they are in right now and expect freshmen to come in and contribute greatly. You just can't do that. So you look at those players that you have and said, can I win with these guys? If your answer is no, then you might have to sprinkle in some transfers and some JUCOs into that mix. But if you say, you know what, we can be competitive, but we're going to try to change the culture and create something new with this base group of guys that we're going to bring in, then you probably depend a little bit more on the building process with your incoming class. And I don't want to say stick a finger in the dike, but that's kind of what you're doing. Because now we saw it with Bill Snyder when he came in. Bill Snyder's done it better than anybody else in the country as far as using JUCOs to plug gaps and be successful. And somehow, some way, he builds chemistry with those guys. And it's an amazing sort of thing. That's probably what he has done better than any other guy. Not everybody can do that.
Everybody loves Grandpa.
We didn't used to love him, though. That's the thing. What he's done? Are you talking about Mike Riley now? Are you talking about Grandpa Bill?
I'll tell you what, from the youth standpoint, I think it's a great thing. Because let's face it, when Daryl Morris took over, he was young when he got on the staff, then he got his opportunity, and UNK had numerous great football years. I think you're going to see that energy, as you say, behind that. And sometimes it gets stagnant. I mean, you've been in the same job. Hey, there's some mornings I don't feel the same zip as I did when I first took things over, and I think in my head, you know what? Back in the day, this would have been that way, but now this is different. You know, he's going to have to learn as he goes. It's his first head coaching job. We'll talk about that with him here in just a moment as well. But he also said he will be his own offensive coordinator to start with. He was also the recruiting coordinator at Central Missouri. He will pass that off to an assistant that he has here. So two of those important things, offense and recruiting. Now he's going to have to find somebody that can be a great defensive coordinator. And that was one of the things that was really addressed and where the football team got way better, I think. I think the former staff would all say that their defense has been the most improved part over the last couple of years. We do need to take a break here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Jim Lang, and Monty Kratz inside on this Monday, where UNK has a new head football coach and 32-year-old Josh Lamberson. And we will hear, I had a chance to chat with him one-on-one. We'll hear a few comments from him in just a little bit. But don't forget, folks, the end of the year is rolling along, and sometimes tax purposes are there. Sometimes you just need a new or pre-owned vehicle. In fact, maybe you got out this morning and went, I do need new tires. You don't even need a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle. Maybe you do. Maybe you just need to get the tires changed. Maybe you get the windshield wipers, oil change, whatever it was. The gang at Midway did it for me last week. They can do it for you as well. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And on a day like this, if you don't want to get out, iPad, computer, think midway.com. You can see everything that is on their lot. Whatever, if you're looking for a Chrysler, if you're looking for a Cadillac, truck, SUV, they've got it all there for you. Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Winter weather advisory that remains in effect. Otherwise, for today, we'll have snow showers, high 30. We'll see right around an inch possible. Tonight, a slight chance of snow, low at 17. And tomorrow, partly sunny skies. Currently, it's 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, Monty Kratzenstein in studio today. We will talk a little Huskers, but the majority of our program today, UNK. But I know, Jimmy, you're over there, and I can't believe the emails haven't already been fired up. And, folks, if you'd like to be with us for anything that happened over the weekend, the new UNK coach, your thoughts. I don't expect the hundreds of emails and phone calls and tweets as we had when it concerns the Huskers. We all understand that. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are very interested on where UNK is going. Anything that you want to touch base with, of course, our Twitter address, at ESPN 1460 1550. That's what the kids do these days, Monty, at ESPN 1460. 60,
and even 50, me. 50. Me too.
I know, you crazy guy. You jumped on it. I haven't. You can email the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line is 888-455-3776. 888-455-ESPN. We got the Midway PBR Bull Riders out of town. It was a great time, I understand, Saturday. I was doing the wrestling with Amherst and O'Neill. We'll get to that. But, Jimmy, I know you're concerned that if Sean Eichhorst is going to fire coaches for not winning the big games, John Cook's on the hot seat with Nebraska volleyball.
No, I'm not concerned about that. You know, Nebraska volleyball has really done well in the NCAA tournament. You know, unlike Nebraska basketball has done real well in the NCAA tournament. You know, because this year I did not expect them to win a game when they went to Seattle. I thought it was a very big upset when they beat Washington. That really surprised me. I think that was the biggest upset of the tournament.
Yeah, they won the big game.
Yeah, because actually BYU was the 11 seed, if I'm not mistaken, and Nebraska was 14. Was it the other way around? I guess I don't know. I mean, I'm getting a head shake from somebody. But I think BYU, was it 3-14 and 11-6 at that? Was that the teams that went to that regional, or do you guys know?
Yeah, we were ranked higher, but BYU kind of considered the upset of this whole deal. Got a 6-7 girl. Of course, now they've beaten us in women's basketball. They beat us in volleyball. And, of course, the football team starts with BYU next year. But BYU is the Cinderella. That's just it. BYU then upset Florida State. Nebraska goes in. You're going, holy cow, how could it set up any better? Because six of the top eight teams are already in the Elite Eight, and then it just doesn't work for Nebraska.
But it's a classic hot team scenario. I mean, they got hot at the right time. They were talented. You saw how big they were. You saw how powerful they were, and they got hot late. It was a little bit like a NCAA tournament run that somebody makes in basketball, where somebody will come along and win a couple games on a weekend that you're just like, where did that come from? Two big upsets to get into the, you know, the Sweet 16 or get into that sort of thing. I think from Nebraska's standpoint, I think this is one of John Cook's best coaching jobs, because of, if you look at the team and how young they were, you look at their dynamics, and they had a lot of players that were very even, especially in their middles, a lot of very, very even. And so, you know, there was a lot of manipulating during the season, playing different girls when they would get hot, and then they'd go with them, and then they'd kind of someone else. And that was a tough coaching job. I think this was kind of a transition year for them, and get to where they did is a big deal.
One senior, keep bringing the Rolfson twins along so that they can be the All-Americans that everybody expects them to be. And the goal now is next year, because the Final Four is in Omaha, so Nebraska is going to have pressure on them next year with a new setter. That's your quarterback, but that's the only player they lose. The pressure will be on so that you get to be at home as long as possible and put yourself in a position to get to Omaha and the Final Four and compete for national championships. So on Thursday, BYU and Texas will play the first semifinal. Number one Stanford and Penn State will play the second semifinal. I do have one more question to my volleyball listeners out there. Coaches, whatever the case may be, Mary Poe Miller's an outstanding setter,
and BYU is one of the best blocking teams around, but why do you keep setting it into the 6-7 block? You know where she is defensively. They kept, that was one of the things that just seemed to me that you know where the 6-7 girl is. Quit setting it to her. Quit setting it where she's at and hitting it into her block. And that may be a very amateur volleyball observation. But
so I'll follow that up with another very amateur. I think one of Nebraska's weaknesses all year was their lack of versatility. The fact that they could hit very, very well from the outside where they were setting it, but their middles, no secret, their middles struggled. They struggled on the right side at times. So I think that's where it showed their lack of versatility and their inability to make that adjustment and go to something else when something was taken away from them.
And you guys talked about how they rotated through. Did you even hear the name Alicia Ostrander lately? She was the hottest thing going there at the middle portion of the season when Nebraska was struggling, and there were some other girls in there that you went, where did they go? We're going to take our chance now to continue talking with UNK and their new head football coach. I got a chance to chat for a few minutes with new head coach Josh Lamberson after his introductory press conference this morning, and here's our chat with the 32-year-old Wilbur, Nebraska native. Well, the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney is Josh Lamberson. We've put him through the war zone so far this morning with his initial press conference. Coach, your initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show, as I said, hopefully many more. Congratulations. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing great. I couldn't be more excited just for the opportunity to come here and be a part of this Loper family and to really experience everything that that's going to go along with this.
Now, are we currently invited on an all-expense-paid trip to Wilbur for check days? Is that how this works?
Everybody is more than welcome. I'm sure the people at Wilbur will meet you with open arms, and the more the merrier in Wilbur. There's no doubt about that for check days.
I know we're going to be busy, so we'll keep this short so everybody can chat with you, but two or three questions that we want to get to. First off, you talked a little bit about what you saw when you played UNK. I think a deeper question in the MIAA is, how do you think UNK is viewed in the conference?
You know, I think they're probably viewed right now as a team that's on the lower half of the middle division, and that's not a horrible thing to be viewed like that for what we're going to do and where we're going to be at. I think teams that watch Kearney's film know that there is talent here. They know that there are good players here. And this place has an opportunity to be something special and to be something big, and I think that's why, that's why I am so excited about coming here and this opportunity, because I know that there is a great opportunity to build something here that's big and that can make a splash in the MIAA.
We're talking with Josh Lamberson, introduced today as the new UNK football coach. As far as the team, the X's and O's, what do you know about them?
You know, not a lot yet. Just that one game and really those 3 days that you get to prepare for a certain opponent, and that's kind of what I know about them. I did have an opportunity just to go back and skim through the film that we had here there at the University of Central Missouri really fast to kind of get a check on the roster. And so, like I said, I know there's talent that's coming back. They lost some talent, some really good talent as well. But we'll do our due diligence in recruiting and evaluating the players that we have here and the staff that we're going to bring in and figure out a plan and kind of go from there.
On recruiting, where are we at? We hear a lot about the Division I, the dead period is here. So What can you do right now?
Well, in Division II, we can be in homes right now. We can go out to schools. We can essentially do whatever it is that we need to do this week and then a little bit into next week. And then obviously with Christmas break and the moratorium that they have, it kind of goes dead until about that first full week in January. And that's when we'll kind of be out and about again, contacting those guys that we've had contact with and then reaching new possible recruits that we haven't quite gotten contact with yet.
Josh, you got to meet with the players last night. We understand. What was that like? What'd you take out of it?
It was absolutely a phenomenal experience for me just to see their eyes and how hungry those kids were. So I take a lot from it, and the fact that they want to learn, they want to take this thing to a new level, they want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves and hold themselves and their teammates to that Loper standard and have those family and commitment values that we're going to talk about. So I'm really excited. I got to meet with a few of them on an individual basis as well, and it's just kind of going to set or lay the foundation for what's yet to come.
Some people will look and say, 32 years old, first head coach.
Right.
There will be some bumps in the road, I'm sure. But you've grown up in this profession over the last number of years, mm-hmm. since and have played at the highest level, the nerves or some of the things as you come into this first head coaching job?
Yeah, and the one thing that I take from a lot of my people that I've been able to learn from is you can't panic in any situation. I think sometimes it's almost better to take a step back and evaluate a situation and then kind of figure out a plan of action. So, you know, there will be no panic with staff hires, with recruiting, with anything that, you know, that comes up in our football program. And the one thing that I know here, I got a chance to meet with the other head coaches. You know, I can learn a lot from them. If I ever need advice, if I ever have something arise that I haven't had to deal with or haven't had the experience to deal with, is I can always go into their offices and they're going to provide some huge advice for me and some guidance as well.
We'll wrap it up here with the new head football coach at UNK, Josh Lamberson. In 2-3 years or next year, what should the Loper fans expect? What do you want to do offensively, defensively? Tell us a little bit about what you want the football team to look like.
Right. Well, first off, offensively, we'll be a no-huddle, fast-paced, multiple formations, multiple shifts and motions type of offense. We will be very hard to prepare for. We're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. We'll have a balance between the run game and the pass game. Defensively, we're going to be relatively simple as far as our scheme, but I want those kids to be able to read, react, and play fast. I think that's what defense is all about, is your read and reaction, your ability to dissect the offense and what they're going to do pre-snap and then be able to make adjustments post-snap. And so that's what we're going to do defensively. Special teams, I'm a big believer in, you have to be explosive in the special teams game. You can't just be sound necessarily. You obviously have to be sound, but you can't just be mediocre. You're going to have some starters on that special teams unit that can go out and make some plays. In the MIAA, we all know that the difference between a lot of wins and losses is not necessarily with your offense and your defense, but it's with your special teams and the momentum and the plays that you can make in that department. I think it's overlooked from time to time, so we're going to have an explosive special teams unit that's going to go out and make some plays.
Well, Josh, we look forward to working with you in the future. Congratulations, and thanks so much for your initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate it, Doug, and I really appreciate all the Loper Nation that's been so welcoming and supportive, and I look forward to getting a chance to meet all of you.
That is Josh Lamberson. Lamberson is the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and we appreciate the time he gave us today to chat about a few things. We'll get to know him a lot more. You might see it from the TV coverage. Again, I'm one of those guys that, you know what, we're in the business media-wise to try and, you know, get our job done. And radio has its benefits, and I'm one of the people that say all the other media have their benefits as well. He's got a really cute daughter, 2 years old, Kaya, and she kind of stole the press conference because she wanted to be with mom, and then grandma was there, and then she wanted to be with dad, and you can just tell she was all dressed up and ready to go, and hopefully you'll get a chance to see the family as well. So we welcome them to Kearney. Again, there is, as Athletic Director Prinsky said, if you want to meet the folks, go down ahead of the basketball game, 5 o'clock at UNK, the Zickman Room. If you come in on the, what is it, the west entrance, the main entrance, when you come into the Health and Sports Center for contests, it is just to your right, and I'm sure they'll have you directed in the right way. So go out and meet Coach Josh Lamberson and his family in the meet and greet that starts at 5 tonight. And then there's basketball tonight, UNK taking on Hastings College. But anything that you guys heard there from Coach that makes your ears perk up a little bit?
Well, it's a hire that will create energy, will create enthusiasm. New, he's young. His experience, you might question it, but I think the people that I've talked to, he's very likable. He's very well respected. He's played the game. He's coached at a level. He's coordinated. He's recruited. I'm excited about it. The one thing that you have to understand, just like down in Nebraska, just like any place, you don't have to agree with the decision that was made at the top. But once that decision is made, if you are a true fan, support the decision, support the staff, support the new coach, and move forward.
Well said.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, Monty Kratzenstein, we're all in studio. We'll hear a few more comments from head coach Lamberson at his press conference this morning. Don't forget, lunchtime right around the corner. Mondays are always excellent at the Kearney Chicken Coop. We've got the holiday season. You're hustling, you're bustling. You need some time to slide on in. Maybe you've got the family. Maybe you're with the coworkers. Maybe you forgot to plan that Christmas party. They'll still get you set up at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Monday Night Football tonight. Get the Coop Koozie for $5 and enjoy 12-ounce Frosty Ones in the can for only $1 throughout the evening. And, of course, every Monday, their lunch special is the Outstanding Steak Sandwich with your choice of side, only $7.49. Lunch specials are from 11 to 4 every day, but they have got great menu items throughout the time. Chicken tender hoagie, bone-in, boneless wings. You've got the great sandwiches, prime rib, or a French dip. I like that one. I get that quite a bit. Burgers, pizza, appetizers. It's all there for you at the original Sports Bar and Grill, the Kearney Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney.
I had never even owned a furnace or an air conditioner before, so it was brand new to me, and they trained me, not just by sending me out with them, but also I have those resources to talk to people. I like to think of it, when I show up to a house, it's not just me with my 5 years of experience showing up there, but it's all the years of experience of all the Texas Anderson Brothers showing up at that house as resources that I can use. Without the training from Anderson Brothers, I would not be able to do the work that I do today.
Regardless of age or experience, start a new career with a call to Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Joy, a feeling of great happiness that's often given when helping others and doing what's right. If someone you know has spent the year giving the gift of joy, nominate them at fnbplattevalley.com/joy. We'll be drawing three winners for a $100 prepaid card between December 8th and 19th so we can give back to those who give so much. Visit fnbplattevalley.com/joy. First National Bank, member FDIC.
It's tough to see games like this coming to an end. 7 seconds to go. The Cougars have fought hard all night long, but they're down by two, and they have to get the ball back. Here we go. Johnson inbounding the ball, and it's tipped away. The Cougars have it. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Here's a three out of the corner.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of basketball. Get big speed for a small price with the nation's largest fixed wireless network. With Prairie iNet, enjoy streaming games, movies, or video with no interruptions. So sign up for Prairie iNet today and get your choice of a free month of service or a $50 Amazon gift card. That's right, a free month of service or a $50 Amazon gift card just for signing up with Prairie iNet. Call Prairie iNet today at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Santa wears Husker Red, and so can you, along with a lot of other colors from TM Sporting Goods in the downtown Kearney Center. Santa and you might also consider Under Armour for crisp outdoor jaunts. If you have a player on your Christmas list, see Steve and Tino for expert advice on equipment and accessories for every sport and the know-how to help you buy right. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design, and like them on Facebook for daily holiday specials.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Before the end of the program, we're going to hear more from UNK head football coach Josh Lamberson. We do have the Twitter up and going at ESPN 1460 1550. Scott says volleyball all starts with passing, and the Twins are horrible passers, which leads to nothing but outside sets and attacks. Kelsey Fien took over Alicia Ostrander's spot towards the middle of the season. They overachieve, but the Twins need to step up. One more comment on volleyball. Here's the deal. They're going to take a lot of heat, and they have been taking a lot of heat. And even Coach Cook has kind of tried to motivate them, I know, at the beginning of the year. There's a lot of pressure on those young ladies. If you're in Nebraska, you've watched them play. You've heard about them since about the time they were able to walk into a middle school down there at Papillion, and a lot of pressure being put on these gals right out of their freshman season. I mean, Coach Lamberson said today, one reason you redshirt is so you don't send your little 18-year-old boy out to get thumped by a 22-year-old man. I mean, there's a little bit of that to be said in volleyball or almost any sport. I mean, the contact isn't necessarily there. But, you know, if you're playing a woman against a young lady that maybe hasn't completely matured out of high school, and I'm not saying that that's the case with the Rolfsons because they're definitely all that and more, you know, you can't expect them to be the two best players in the country just because they were the two best players in the state.
There is a difference between high school athletics and college athletics, by the way, people. So
there is?
Some of the very some of the very best athletes you've seen, Jimmy, in high school, you know, how many of them just transitioned at any level into a great college player at any sport?
You, I think Johnny Manziel answered that yesterday from being a mm-hmm. leaving college early and going to the pros and making some money. But, you know, I think he would have had more success, you know, being a quarterback in the NCAA for a while. But the money's there. It seems like basketball, you know, Doug, and I'm not positive on this. It seems like in college basketball, the freshmen that go pro have a tendency to get better a little quicker. You know, maybe not immediately, but, you know, it takes them about not even the whole season. You know, not 82 games, and they kind of fit in. Hey, I got to be about this. You know, they kind of fit in about after 30, 40 games. Some of those guys still play pretty at a pretty good level. But I've always said this, in tennis and in golf, it mattered what age you are if you can play and play. Because there's no defense really going on, you know, and in tennis, you know, you're on your side of the net. And I feel in volleyball, you're on your side of the net, too. I think I don't know that much about it, but I do know that I don't want to attack the 6'7 girl if she's that good all the time. But you know what? She can slide over and block where she wants to. And if she thinks the ball's going to go over there, she can slide to that area where she thinks that ball's going to be played. She doesn't have to stay in her area, you know. So, and a lot of times in NCAA, there's a lot of double blocking going on because that ball's coming in so hard, you know, you just can't sit there and go. It's not like like volley with me and you playing ping pong where it just kind of goes back and forth and one of us finally makes an error.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tomorrow we'll be in downtown Kearney at Look What's Cooking. Mike and the gang are getting ready for Guys Night Out, which is Thursday. You know how it is. You don't know what you need. You don't know what mom or wife or daughter, you don't know. Let's face it. They're gonna help you. For the woman that has everything, or maybe you want something yourself, we'll be talking a whole lot more tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, stop by and see us at Look What's Cooking on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. We do want to talk a little bit of Huskers. They're coming off the coming into the dead period, as you heard me talk with Coach Lamerson. It's different at Division One than it is at the other divisions. But, Monty, just where you see the Huskers are right now, it seems like Coach Riley and his staff are gelling really well with the recruits, which is probably the first important thing, and then gelling with the actual team probably takes off when they get back from holiday break and get into winter conditioning and right around the corner to spring ball.
There's two priorities right now. First of all, it's getting the staff settled, but I don't think even that's as a big a priority as recruiting. You have your list of guys, and how tough is it to go in and say, okay, which of these guys are already being recruited do I want to recruit? Are the, you know, that's a player evaluation process. And then the other thing is, how many of the guys from Oregon State that I was recruiting are good enough that I want them to come to Nebraska? We already saw right early on, we saw a couple guys from Oregon State. One guy mm-hmm. switched, and a couple other guys that were recruits for Oregon State that now are looking at Nebraska. So what a tough deal. So you have to decide, okay, who are these guys that I'm going to that I've already established a relationship with and I'm going to bring with me? And then the second part is, who is committed to Nebraska and I want to make sure and keep? And they have done an excellent job of that, of looking at the Anderson kid, the Lee kid, the Davis twins down in Missouri, the Morgan kid down from New Orleans, all these kids that were high recruits that really had committed because of their relationship with assistant coaches at Nebraska. They got into those living rooms, and they've been very, very well received. I'm not surprised at that, because Mike Riley's demeanor, Mike Riley's the way he is, it really plays out well in a living room, especially with a family.
Nate Klaus was with us Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show, reporting today that Nebraska has picked up another commit from Peoria, Arizona. Centennial High School linebacker Diedrich Young announced his decision at a press conference this morning. 6'1", 220-pounder, had a couple of official visits. The last one to Lincoln in late September. Arizona, Michigan State were also in the running there. So Young becomes the 15th commit in this year's class. He's the number 6 player in the state of Arizona for 2015. Diedrich Young, 6'1", 220-pound linebacker.
If you beat out Michigan State and Arizona right now for a recruit from the Arizona area, that's pretty good. That relationship was already established with him. He had been on a couple visits, and that's just what I'm talking about. He wasn't going to come to Nebraska just because of, no, I shouldn't say just because of, but because of the assistants and the head coach. He was coming to the program to the University of Nebraska. And that's also the thing you have to identify with a lot of these kids is, do they want to come to your place because of you, because of want you their recruiting coach? Is it because of the fancy facilities? Is it because of the pretty girl they met on the recruiting trip? You have to identify those things, because a lot of those things will be gone soon. Some of those things will still
pretty
be
girls?
Around. They'll always be there, but there's maybe, but unfortunately, there's probably more of them. I shouldn't even go down to that. The competition.
Let me subject here real quick. You know, I was going to.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Both of you guys had great points. You had great points about that. But yeah, I think Riley, his job when he came in is. Could you imagine if he was trying to coach the football team? See, I think people have to, really, that's very important that he's not coaching the football team this year. You know, that the bowl game I'm talking about, coaching mm-hmm. the bowl game, I misspoke.
Right.
That he's recruiting right now, not trying to get a team ready to play USC. His job is to get the players. Maybe we'll gain some. Maybe we'll gain a couple that were going to go to Oregon State. Maybe we'll gain a couple that he saw that maybe they didn't want to go to Oregon State, but they might want to come to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we'll gain a few. We're going to lose a few. Let's be honest about this. We're going to lose a few, and we're going to be some players that he might have to talk with and go, hey, you know what? I watched film. I did some things. I don't know if it's going to really fit here for you. You know, I think, you know, that you might want to transfer. And then you open up a scholarship, you know, so.
Coming up, more from the new head football coach at UNK, Josh Lamberson. We've got emails and tweets to get to. Let's take a break to take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, we asked you, what was more surprising, Mike Riley leaving Oregon State or Gary Anderson going to Oregon State? And kind of as expected, this was overwhelming. 90% Gary Anderson going to Oregon State. Today, we get into kind of the bowl mood, and you can get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza. Do it now. It's free. Tons of great prizes. I say this a lots of times. There are quite a few sports talk shows now in Nebraska. We were one of the first. We have the best prizes. We give away the best prizes. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I'll get you the documentation. We give away the best. That's all there is. And not only do we give away the best, we give away the most. When we have our Bowl Bonanza, when we have the NCAA Bracket Challenge, great stuff out there. Great job by our department here, and it's only for you, and it's all free. So get hooked up now at ESPNSuperstation.com. While you're there, vote on the Midtown Mart cooler question. Outside of the Holiday Bowl, which non-New Year's Six bowl game has the best matchup? Do you like the Alamo Bowl, Kansas State-UCLA, the Belk Bowl, Georgia-Louisville, the Music City Bowl, Notre Dame-LSU, the Outback Bowl, Auburn, Wisconsin, or you can email us another choice. So vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. They did their Bowl Mania on ESPN last night, and I think the confidence for USC was somewhere around 26 or 28 for Nebraska out of 38. So there you go. But any of those that you would like to see more than the others, Jimmy?
You know, I'm kind of interested in that Wisconsin game, mm-hmm. you know, with how they got beat 59-0 and the coach is leaving. And now they're going to play an Auburn team that last year just missed winning the national championship by, you know, a late comeback by Florida State. They don't have many of those, do they? Florida State late comebacks. I mean, right after last year, after they beat Auburn, they go, hey, let's just win all our games this next year. We'll just play them all like this, and we'll come back and win them in the last minute.
Yes.
So I think that Auburn Wisconsin game. How about you guys? Do you guys have one that is a little intriguing to you?
Well,
or not?
I think Kansas State UCLA is going to be intriguing. Just because UCLA was up, Kansas State worked their way up, and now if they play to their best of their abilities, though, I would love to watch the Notre Dame LSU game. I'm not a Notre Dame homer, and yes, I'm Catholic, but that doesn't mean I hate that tie-in. It's just that Notre Dame LSU, I think if they're at the top of their games, I think that is the most intriguing to me. But it means nothing, so I don't know.
I agree with both you guys. I really want to see how Wisconsin is going to respond, and because Barry Alvarez is coaching him, and now that whole dynamic is that's interesting. And by the way, Auburn's pretty good, and so that's going to be interesting. And the Notre Dame LSU, just from the fact that I want to watch, is there a way that we can get Damon Day in a room and Chris Pocock in a room together to watch the Notre Dame LSU game? Because those two guys, that might be fun. Then we could just watch.
Oh, it's good stuff. Good stuff, folks. Vote now on our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Gabe fires into the Dent Popper inbox. Given where UNK and Coach Lamerson are at, I think this is a solid hire for UNK. Lamerson seems like the type of coach UNK needs to take that next step in the MIAA. Born and raised in Nebraska, All-American quarterback that took Northwest Missouri to a national championship appearance. Worked under a couple of great coaches at Northwest Missouri and Central Missouri. Has recruiting experience in Nebraska. Seems like a high-character guy. That said, this is his first head coaching gig. We'll see if he brings the spread offense he used at Central Missouri and also what type of defense he'll implement, as I hope you heard when we chatted there and he talked about what they want to do, no huddle, wide open, go get him, which I don't think will be a whole lot different than what you viewed. In addition, Gabe says it'll be interesting to see what kind of staff he builds. I imagine it'll include some assistants from Central Missouri and Northwest Missouri. I'd imagine the salary pool for assistants increased as well. Overall, a solid hire for the Lopers, says Gabe. Appreciate that, Gabe. We'll be back with more and hear more from Coach Lamerson, the new head football coach at UNK, after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
You're in luck. Hilltop Mall is making holiday shopping fun and easy this year. Mall gift cards and gift wrap available all season long. Good for every store in the mall, Hilltop Mall gift cards always make the perfect gift. Stop by the mall office to purchase. And don't let your kids miss Santa. He is at the Hilltop Mall to hear all their holiday wishes. It's all at the Hilltop Mall this holiday season.
Kroll Agency and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, two names you know and trust. With locations in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden, Kroll Agency has simple health insurance solutions for you, your family, or business. As an independent and authorized producer of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Kroll Agency has the individual health insurance or employee group plan you need. Kroll Agency is proud to be a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska Diamond Broker. Visit them in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
More exciting high school basketball comes your way Tuesday night on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. On the Breeze, 94.5 FM, Amherst travels to Kennesaw. They'll tip off at 6:30, while at 6 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9, Kearney Catholics at Ravenna, and Hastings St. Cecilia's at St. Paul on 1230 KHAS. Amherst, Kennesaw on the Breeze, Kearney Catholic Ravenna, Classic Hits 98.9, St. Cecilia, St. Paul on 1230 KHAS, and PlatteRiverPreps.com Tuesday night.
Don't forget Monday Night Football tonight. Bears take on the Saints. Last night in Sunday Night Football. How about them Cowboys? Now we lead the NFC East. Dallas, that a baby. That a baby, but I'm still burnt as many. Okay, we talk about this in a legal sort of way. We're in pools. We're in fun things from time to time. Contests. I'm in a contest where you pick the games against the number. As Cowherd likes to say, I am still steamed at Ed Hockley, my favorite referee, for throwing that roughing the passer penalty in the San Francisco-Seattle game, which not only, here's what it's come to, here's what football fan is now, Monty, not only would it have given me Hoshka's field goal, which would have helped me in fantasy, then San Francisco would have covered and I would have won the game in the contest. That's what it's all about.
Jimmy,
you know what I'm talking about.
Are we going to have a whole segment on bad beats? Is that what we're going to do?
Crap calls.
That's still bad beat.
We're into the spot now. We're into the spot now where you can't. I mean, some of these things need to be reviewed. I saw it in college, and they just missed the call. It's no different than missing a touchdown catch or reception or a fumble. You missed the call. I mean, you can now look to see if a guy should have been thrown out of the game for targeting. You missed the call.
You know, my parents are both sports fans and love to watch games. My mom was so – I watched the Cincinnati-Nebraska game the second half with her the other day, and Nebraska didn't play very well, and luckily neither did Cincinnati, so somebody was going to win this game, you know, eventually. But, I mean, just the turnovers and the shots they were taking and the frustration she had, because I'm thinking, you know, I wasn't getting near as upset, but towards the end I wanted Nebraska to win for her. You know, I'm at the game. So, Doug, I feel bad for you, because if I'd have been sitting by you, I might have been able to help you. But, Doug, here's the situation is my dad one time, he has got Hawaii, and they're playing BYU. And, you know, these are getting over about 2 o'clock in the morning. So he's up watching it. And everything's going perfect. BYU's going to win. They've subbed in. Everything's fine, but everybody's getting to play. And there's BYU runs the ball down to the 4-yard line. If they score a touchdown, it's going to be bad. But they run it down to the 4, and there's only 20 seconds to go, and Lavelle Edwards has already taken his headset off, and he's walking across the field to shake hands. And the clock's going down to 5, 4, and some kid from Hawaii calls timeout. The game's like a 28-point difference, you know. But he called timeout with Lavelle. Oh, okay. You want to play one more play? We'll run one more at you. And he did, and that kid scored a touchdown. And my dad, he was so upset with Hawaii and that kid. So, yeah, when I just the way he told the story, it was to remind me of you, Doug. It reminded me of you exactly. But you're mad at Ed. Some kid just called time. He wanted to play one more play. He only got in for defense for only 2. Might as well play 3 of these.
You know what's going to happen. Poor Ed. He's going to get the Thursday night game, Tennessee-Jacksonville. Yeah. Hey, Ed, what are you doing Thursday?
I'm learning a lot about Jimmy. I can figure out a little bit of why he is the way he is, because I can see his dad watching that at 2 o'clock, but probably waking you up yelling because of that, or maybe
I was probably up there watching it with him.
And also the other thing is I hope you didn't make your mom watch that game, because the ugly a game that was, you wind up getting a Christmas present
that
from her.
Cincinnati-Nebraska.
Oh my goodness.
She's a huge
I was cheering
fan
for him too, but my goodness, it was just like watching it. Car wreck that you can't take your eyes off of. You want to see how it ends, but you're like, it's horrible.
How about holding the ball for like 30 seconds there?
for a 40-foot jump shot?
For a 48-footer. Almost got called for over and back. It was so far back.
Don't get me started talking about shot selection.
All right, we better change the subject. We're not talking. Thank God we're not talking about the women, you know, here and at recruits. You know, there you go.
You know what they say? You can polish a turd, but it's still a turd.
There you go.
That's exactly what you got right there. That's for you, Monty. Monty Kratzstein, Jimmy Langan with me here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Huskers head to Hawaii for the men. The women are now 9-1, and they are off until they play High Point. Hastings College men fell to Dort. The women beat Dort. Hastings men will be at UNK tonight. UNK men and women went up to South Dakota Mines, got the sweep. Women by 1, ended on a 9-0 run to win that game. And Kansas Wesleyan will host the Hastings women tonight as well. We're going to wrap everything up, and then hear some final comments from UNK's new head football coach, Josh Lamberson. Just wanted to make sure that we kind of touched on everything, as we mentioned. And, Jimmy, you said, went down to a really cool event, the Capital City Clash, Amherst and O'Neill Wrestling. It was a great event. Thank everybody that helped us put that on. The only thing that didn't happen is Amherst got nipped by 1 point. And, I mean, you look at 14 individual matches, and that's where it gets a little scary, because you can circle here and circle there. And O'Neill, a big win for them. And for the wrestlers, they'll have one more weekend before heading into the holiday break. The UNK wrestlers dominated over at York. Then Nebraska wrestling, by the way, after that duel, got upset by Wisconsin. So that didn't go well for the Huskers that day either. Track team, we'll talk about them more as the week prepares. But they had their pre-holiday tournament. Great news. Sometimes you just overlook it. I don't want to overlook it. The Storm won two more. They won all three at home this week. Congratulations to Coach Holton and the Storm. Of course, he was on the show Tuesday. They win three in a row, Monty. Coincidence?
No.
They're going to be at Omaha Friday, then they're off for the holidays, back home on the 27th. That is the day of the Holiday Bowl, so the hockey game has been moved up to 3:05 so that everyone can enjoy that. We did have Allstate, and I could go down Lincoln Journal Star, Omaha World Herald. It's on their websites. Just a couple of mentions here for the All-Nebraska team from the World Herald. Football, first-team offense at tight end, Johanna Guyfon of Grand Island Central Catholic, and very pleased to see Wyatt Mazur of Boone Central Newman Grove, C1 champion, is your Allstate quarterback, basically the toughest position to be on any of these teams is that position. Because in basketball, there's five guys. In volleyball, there is what there is. You can go on down the line. But in football, it is looked at by position, and only one quarterback can be there, and Mazur gets it. On the defense, Brian Arp of Kearney High, Kevin Cahoy, and Pierce Almond of Grand Island. Super State and All-Nebraska, they call them two different things on the paper, so we'll get those right. But they were number one, numero uno, all class. Volleyball, Megan Wickey, for the folks that saw Kearney Catholic, Grand Island Central Catholic. She was from Omaha Concordia and played them in the state tournament. She's headed to Ohio State. She's the player of the year. Tiani Reeves of Gothenburg, Nebraska recruit, is also All-State, Super State. It's pretty easy. You find the college kids, you put them as Super State, and then you fill in the blanks around it. That's a fairly easy job. All-Nebraska second team, Morgan Studi, Kearney Catholic libero. All-Nebraska third team, Claire Hamburger, Hastings St. Cecilia setter. And the Bobby Mills 1,000-yard club had 107 young men rush for over 1,000 yards this year. The leader, Noah Johnson of Sutton, 28-92. They lost to Hardington Cedar Catholic in a great first-round game. It was just a horrible matchup. They shouldn't have been playing that early, but that's the way it fell. Had they been able to play two more, Johnson probably undoubtedly would have broken the record of Calvin Strong set a year ago. So he had 28-92. He needed 120 yards or something like that to break it. So, but Noah Johnson, outstanding. You had Ethan Skinner from Hemingford, Jalen Sturdivant, Maxwell, 2 and 3. Elm Creek's Christian Best and Garrett Sundrup of Fullerton were also in the top 10. Seven schools had two kids do it. And at Kennesaw, it was the brothers Preston and Austin Schnitzler. Guys, before we kind of hear some more from Coach Lamerson and wrap up the show today, any final comments? We'll start with you, Jimmy.
Okay, Brian Arp, I've got to watch him play every game for the last 2 years, and a tremendous football player, really helped out the defense. Good offensive football player, too, but really helped out that defense. And I'll tell you what, they didn't run at him a lot, and if they did, they double-teamed that side. And so, his stats maybe for tackles a game and things like that, maybe not as high, but if you watched him play and came up with some big plays and some big sacks and really helped that defense, and good luck to him. He's going to Ohio University, and good luck to him. And the Grand Island had two All-Staters, too, and I remember them playing the first game. And those two kids could play and had a nice game that day, too. So, yeah, in the area for your All-State, All-Class. And I guess just because I watched Kearney High play so much this year, I didn't get to see as many games as you guys did. I mean, I was stuck with tunnel vision at Kearney High football this year.
You ask the young Mishu kid. He inadvertently caught an Arp elbow in the noggin in the basketball game on Friday night and didn't know where he was.
His eyes were going in three different directions, I'll tell you after that. That's why he didn't play Saturday night, because he had a concussion. Is that correct?
Man. That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Your final thoughts, and then we'll hear from the coach one more time.
Exciting time of year. This starting in the basketball part of it, the football bowl season, all that stuff, new coaches everywhere. That's a lot to talk about.
Well, we will continue to fill some of the vacancies and keep you up to date. But as we wrap up the show today, let's hear more from the introductory press conference from UNK's new head football coach, the 32-year-old Wilbur native Josh Lamerson, an All-American quarterback, played in a national championship game twice for Northwest Missouri State, and introduced as the new UNK football coach this morning. We'll join him here where he's talking about coming to Kearney and joining the Loper family.
Be here and to be a part of this family, to be a part of Loper Nation. I can't tell you, this is a dream come true for me, to be standing here as the 17th head coach at the University of Nebraska Kearney, and to be back in Nebraska where I was born and raised and had a sense of family, a sense of tradition, a sense of pride that goes along with being here in Kearney. I have a vision. I have a sense of process that we're going to go through. I know where we stand, where we're at, but I also know where we want to go. And throughout this entire process, talking with Dr. Plinsky and him sharing his vision for the University of Nebraska-Kearney athletic program and department, he always fell back on family. And I got an opportunity this morning to meet our head coaches here and got to pick their brain, and they shared insight with me and through their experiences here and the overwhelming feeling of support and love and excitement that I felt in that room was something that I'll cherish with me the rest of my life. The tradition here that's already established, that we're going to build on, the foundation that's already been laid, not just with the athletic program, but with the university, with the community, is something that I'm really excited to tackle. And with this time, with where we're at in the middle of December, with recruiting at its highest peak, and with a staff that needs to be hired, and with a house that needs to be bought, and a family that needs to be relocated, there's a lot of work to do. But I couldn't feel more confident and more secure about the people that I'm diving in this endeavor with and the process that it will take to get us there. I have a few things that we're going to be known for. First and foremost, we're going to have a family-based atmosphere in our football program. That family-based atmosphere is going to be based on trust, earned respect, love, accountability, not only with ourselves, but for each other. We're going to brand the slogan, Loper Standard, with our football team. And that is to the nth degree in the fact that we're going to produce quality humans that we can be proud of, that are going to go out into the community and be good dads, be good husbands, be good citizens. We're going to have quality students that are going to show up to class and sit in one of the first three rows and get on the dean's list, that take pride in wearing the Loper emblem and being part of this Loper nation, that have a sense of community and duty to the community of Kearney. And first and lastly, a commitment to each other, to hold each other to a higher standard of excellence that will help take this program to new heights. I couldn't be more excited standing here today in front of you. The process that we have in front of us is one that I am fully ready to tackle, but I would not be here today if it weren't for a person in my life that has supported me through all the ups and the downs, through all the ins and the outs. Anybody in athletics knows that it's a roller coaster ride, but she has been my absolute rock through moves, through wins, through losses, through having kids, through everything else, and that's my wife, Mandy. Thank you for really just being there for me, being my foundation for me and our two kids, Kaya and Ace, for my friends, for my family that are here, for my new friends and family that I just met. As part of Loper Nation, I'm honored. I'm honored to be standing here. I'm honored to represent you. I'm excited to be a part of your family and your traditions that you've set forth. And I'm ready to dive in and start this thing.
That is UNK head football coach Josh Lamberson and some of his opening comments. It was at that point where we did the question and answer portion. We'll put the whole thing up on our podcast where you normally listen to the Doug and Daddy Show. We will have the whole press conference today. We'll let Jeff work that out and maybe get the questions that we ask up there a little bit louder to make sure that you can hear them. Some of the other things, I asked him, was he recruited to UNK? I said, when you came out of high school, and they told me that was like Peter Yazak said, that was like the Marcus Goldenstein era and all that, and they said that was the quarterback that came in, and he went to Northwest Missouri State out of Wilbur. He said he hadn't been. He said really only had a couple of offers and went to Northwest Missouri. it's always tricky when you try to ask when was the first contact with UNK, and you could kind of read between the lines. He says, well, the first contact is when the search firm contacted me. Okay. All right.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. All the coaches, all the ADs say, hey, I have a list. Now, Athletic Director Plinsky said he had talked to Coach Leopold up at Wisconsin Whitewater. He says he leans on him a lot. They had a list of about 15 or 16 that they kind of put together to come to UNK. So I don't believe that 2 years ago Josh Lamberson was on any kind of a list to be the next head football coach at UNK. Talked about the staff. Matt Miller is going to be the only current staff member that stays on. They have a relationship in the past, and so you kind of got a crutch there. He will have somebody he can lean on when he gets ready to hire his new staff. And I think I've kind of touched on just about all the news and notes of note from this morning's press conference.
Yeah, I think you did too, Doug. I want to make sure Kobe Bryant is third all-time scorer in the NBA. That happened this week. Nebraska beat Cincinnati. We can't forget about that. I want to know about your Heisman vote, and I want to know why and how you voted, because the only thing I said was that I thought that those three players were going to be like a huge landslide. They'd be getting all the votes, first, second, and third. And I want to know, did you vote for the three that I said that I don't care which way you had them, but the Cooper from Alabama, the running back, the good running back from Wisconsin, for some reason, I want to call him Rob Dean. and then, of course, the Oregon quarterback, the one. Did you vote for those three in any order?
Outside the box.
Okay, what'd you do?
Not totally, though,
okay.
Because I think those three were so far set apart from everybody else. I did not vote for Marcus Mariota. I voted Melvin Gordon number one, without letting the Big Ten championship game and the Pac-12 championship game sway my vote. I voted Amari Cooper number two, because I'm going to tell you this. Amari Cooper, and they tell you it's not quite to the level of Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez watching all this tape to see who the best four teams in the country are for the college football playoffs. But you're supposed to watch football. That's never been a problem for me. I like watching football. I like what's going on. And Amari Cooper from Alabama caught my eye very early this season on what he was doing and was very consistent against very good teams all year long. And I voted Mariota third. And here, that's what I was leaning towards about a month ago. I wanted to vote for Amir Abdullah. You can't do that. You just can't do that. But Marcus Mariota received 788 first-place votes. I was one of 37 that voted for Melvin Gordon. 49 went for Amari Cooper. 7 went for Boykin, the TCU quarterback. Jameis Winston got 4. Tevin Coleman of Indiana got 2, so I guess I could have voted for Amir. Dak Prescott got 2, the quarterback down in Mississippi. Scooby Wright, Arizona. Bryce Petty, Baylor. They all received some votes. That was the top 10. But just to validify, I guess, or validate is the word I want to use there. Validify, is that even a word?
It might be. It might be. It is on our show.
But to validate it, and again, it's all opinion. Now, you can argue stats all you want. Melvin Gordon had the fourth best rushing season in the history of Division I college football in the Big Ten, where that's what you do. So there's a little, I think even if Nebraska wasn't in the Big Ten, I would have still had Melvin Gordon there. You know, we're not here long enough to call Big Ten bias. Amari Cooper had one of the best individual receiving seasons in the SEC, the toughest conference out there, in the history of college football. You look at the numbers outside of just throwing two interceptions, but you look at the number of touchdowns thrown, the number of touchdown or a number of yards thrown for, the number of rushing yards. It didn't even equal Manziel. It was very comparable to Winston. But the passing yards barely broke the top 50 of all time. It was the flash that got Oregon up there. And as we were talking about off air, had Oregon been undefeated, that might have changed my mind a little bit. They lost a football game. One of the stats I heard last week on ESPN National, he was 2-3 in close games. You know, when they didn't have a lot of close games, maybe because he was excellent. But that's what I went with. I went Gordon 1, Cooper 2, Mariota 3.
Yeah, and I see nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like your thinking on that, and it could have been Cooper one, probably Cooper could have been one closer than you would have had, even bringing up your 2-3 change. You know what I mean? It sounds like you liked 1 and 2 better than you actually did. The closest between 1 and 2 than it was between 2 and 3. So that's interesting. Had you had that, and probably didn't even think about anybody for 4. You know, I mean, you know, you looked at them, but yeah, you thought, hey, this is my three, and this is where I'm going to go. So,
you know, if we would have got down to four, I wouldn't have overlooked Jameis Winston. I'll be honest. I'm not saying that that's who I would.
Sure.
If we'd had to vote for five instead of three, I don't know. I would have definitely been looking defense, because I think they always get overlooked. You can't tell me that the best defensive player in the country isn't among the top five or ten total players
in the country. Yeah, it's kind of a weird vote. It really is. I think we really do look at offensive skills. You know what I mean? Let's be honest about that. And that's why they probably came out with these other awards and go, hey, you know, we have to have some other awards out here, because this thing's really getting to the quarterback only.
More banquets, you know, more food.
Yeah, that's so right.
And you may have got overlooked because I didn't talk a whole lot. We haven't really talked about it yet, but congratulations, Rex Burkhead, his first NFL touchdown. He got in late. They blew out Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns, and he got the last score, his first NFL touchdown, a 10-yard rush for the former Husker running back in Rex Burkhead.
Yep, I think Cincinnati and Dallas had the two biggest wins yesterday, really. So, yep.
It's exciting.
Pittsburgh was a big win, too, for them.
There are a lot of very good football teams, and there are a lot of horrid football teams. And, Jimmy, will make. I just want to say, I watched the end of that terrible Tennessee Jets game yesterday because it was on. You get the flea flicker all the way down to the 10, and you run out of bounds, you're not playing for me this week. If you're that stupid, you're not playing.
Was there a penalty on that play, too?
Nope.
No penalty on that play. They did not
call a forward pass.
No, they did not.
I got it back out there. They were at the 10 with a legit chance of getting the Hail Mary flea flicker into the end zone to beat the Jets so that the Jets could have lost yet another way.
That guy made a good tackle. Then he stayed his ground. He said, here you go. And, I mean, he said, hey, it's me and you, buddy, one-on-one. So, yeah.
We want to thank Monty Kratzenstein, Jimmy Langan, for coming in, as always. Of course, to the new head football coach, Josh Lamberson, at UNK, for giving us some one-on-one time today. We'll have more about that on the sports as the show moves along throughout the week. And we will be at Look What's Cooking tomorrow for the next Doug and Daddy show. Stop by and see us. We'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.